If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, as always, please, will you stay with me? It's only going to be a few minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education. And, of course, we don't use any manipulation. We don't try to con people. We're not trying to hustle anyone for money. We're not trying to solicit any membership. All we want to do is give you something, and that's the Word of God, the Bible, the divine viewpoint found in the Scriptures. Our objective is to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And my prayer is that if you understand that, you will orient and adjust to the plan. That's my desire. We give you the truth, nothing but the truth, the whole truth. That's it. And so thank you for listening today. We are up around 600 Sundays. We've been broadcasting The Flatline across America. We're very privileged to have so many of you all the way from California to New York that are listening in today. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for listening. Thank you for praying for me as the Lord directs me what to cover, what to say, what to teach. I've been traveling a lot lately, speaking in various places, and just got back from an extended trip out into Texas. So I'm glad to be home, glad to have a few days home, and glad to be able to be with you this morning by means of this radio show. Some of the things I've been thinking about lately are very critical to me, very important to me. As I was speaking to a group of people last weekend in Texas, I got to thinking about something that a lot of people don't realize, and I'd like to bring it up to you today. I'd like to hope this makes sense to you today. You've often heard me say that the Christian life is a supernatural life. It's an unbelievable life, and the whole concept of the flatline, F-L-O-T, is so you can build an invisible supernatural force in your soul. An invisible problem-solving system in your soul. And that system is made up of God's Word as we learn it, as we apply it and cycle it into our stream of consciousness. When we learn these 10 unique problem-solving devices that I call the Flatline, and this is not original to me, this was taught by my pastor many years ago, and I have his permission to reteach it accurately. But as we learn this flatline, as we learn these 10 problem-solving devices, then we have the opportunity to live a very unique life. It's called the Christian life, and it's a life much like the life that our Savior lived. Remember, He was God, and He was man. So He was the God-man. He was undiminished deity as God, and true humanity as man. And so as God, there was nothing He could not do, but as man, there were anything He couldn't. There were a lot of things He couldn't do. So He lived in the devil's world just as you and I do. And He demonstrated to us that it is possible to live in the devil's world and to be victorious and defeat the devil by following the plan of God all the way to fruition. But there is something you must understand. You cannot live this life. You cannot function in this Christian life, this supernatural life, without the supernatural power that Jesus Christ tapped into and used. If you think about Matthew 4, for example, you will see where our Lord was led by the Holy Spirit When he began his ministry, he was led into the wilderness to be tested. And as he was tested by Satan on three different occasions, he was able to quote Scripture, to mouth Scripture to the devil. And using Scripture, it's what we call the faith rest drill, using the promises of God, he was able to defeat the temptations that the devil threw his way. But he had to do it by means of the power of God, the Holy Spirit. He knew that the disciples, and you and I as well, that we could not function in the devil's world. We could not effectively represent him in the devil's world if we did not have the same power. We had to have the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the same power he had, and we had to have the power of his Father's Word, which is the same power he had. And when we use these two things in combination, in the balance of residency in our soul, we can be undefeatable. We can effectively represent Jesus Christ to our generation. And it's critical that we understand that this morning. So I want to back up just for a moment. I want to focus in on this. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to be charismatic. I'm not trying to be supernatural. I want to be fundamental and objective when I tell you this. So let's back up and let's look at this for a minute. Here's my statement to you. Unless you understand the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to you, unless you understand the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to you, you will never effectively live the victorious Christian life. You must come to understand the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So if we back up to John 14:26, we see the words of Jesus himself. Our Lord said these things. He said, as recorded by John, "But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring them to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you." Now, this was a promise he gave to the disciples who became the apostles, and they were tasked with writing down the things that Jesus Christ said and writing down the events of his life and writing them down correctly and accurately so that you and I could read about them today. So he's called the Comforter. In the original language, that's the Paraclete. He's our tutor, our mentor. And where did he come from? The Father sent him. And that was a future active indicative of that verb. He will send him in the future. And we know that occurred at Pentecost. We know in Acts 2:1-4, the Holy Spirit came and ascended upon those disciples. And it said, when he comes, he will teach you. We know Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. We know the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We know the Bible says, study to show thyself approved and grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. Here's the point. You will not grow. You will not learn. You will not advance in your Christian life if the Holy Spirit is not teaching you. He must be the teacher. And that means if he is teaching you, then he will give you insight and understanding and bring the things you learn to your remembrance when you need them. These are things that are stored in your consciousness. You can't remember everything you learn. Obviously, we write them down in our Bible. We take notes. We have notebooks full. But when we need to find that information, he reminds us where it is, or he pulls it out of our memory. He jogs our memory. The things that he said, Jesus said, the things I said unto you, he will bring them to your remembrance. And it's the same for us today. The Holy Spirit, it's critical we understand this. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. He's just as real as Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God. He's just as real as the Heavenly Father. In John 15:26, the Bible says, when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he, there's a personal pronoun, he will testify of me. The Holy Spirit is a real person. And you don't see him, you don't feel him, you don't touch him, but he's real. And he is part of our divine God. Just one part. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it is not possible for you to worship God. Number one, if you're not born again and don't have a human spirit. And number two, if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not possible to worship God. So how do I get a human spirit? Well, I'm born again. If I'm born the first time physically dead, spiritually dead, then I need to be born again. Not physically, but spiritually. And when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I am born again, not physically, spiritually. Jesus told Nicodemus, you need to be born again, spiritually. Don't marvel about that, he said. It's a spiritual birth. Once you're born again, then you have a human spirit that is made alive and quickened by God, the Holy Spirit. And that now you're able to have fellowship with, you're able to have fellowship with God. Before that happened, you had a body and you had a soul, but you did not have a human spirit. Your human spirit was dead because the Bible said, for by one man sin came into the world and death by sin, and death has passed on all, for the wages of sin is death. When you're born physically alive, but spiritually dead. Thus, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. Your human spirit must be born again. And it's done when the Holy Spirit enters you, when he comes into you. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, the moment you receive Christ as your Savior, God the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. The Holy Spirit bears the name and exhibits the attributes and accomplishes all the work of deity. He is deity. He is a rightful and equal member of the Godhead three. That's right. God lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus Christ lives in you. Every attribute of God is ascribed to the same Holy Spirit, just as full and just as freely as to the Father or the Son. The Holy Spirit is said to possess eternal life in Hebrews 9:14. He's called an eternal spirit. He's said to possess omnipotence in 1 Peter 3:18, where he resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the same power that will resurrect you. He's omnipresent in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, where the psalmist wrote, where shall I go to leave your spirit? It's not possible. He's omniscient. 1 Corinthians 2:10, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. He can read your mind. He knows what you're thinking. The Holy Spirit is love, just like God, because the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And Galatians 5:22, the Holy Spirit reproduces divine faithfulness in us. He never lies. He's called in 1 John 5:6, the Spirit of truth. So the Holy Spirit, the one that lives in you, is the divine executive, which is the official responsibility of the Spirit. He is manifest and defends the holiness of God himself. He lives in you. As a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And he convinces you of sin in John 16:7, and he has a ministry through you, where he reveals Christ to the world. He's the minister of regeneration in Titus 3:5. We're not saved by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration, now listen, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. There he is, right there in the middle of your salvation. John 3:1, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. In Ephesians 4:4, there's one body, one Spirit, and just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Yes, there's only one Holy Spirit. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, He baptizes you, which means He places you into union with Christ. He puts you into the family of God. The presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is the way that you have a distinguishing identification. It may not be observed by those around you, but it's recognized by God. He lives in you, and He seals you, the Bible says, until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is living in you. He is your power to execute this Christian life. When we talk about having a flatline, the first thing we talk about is rebound. And the reason it's critical is you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit if you have unconfessed sin in your life. And the reason it's critical again is because when you rebound, you are filled with the Spirit. Sinning quenches the Holy Spirit. Sinning grieves the Holy Spirit. And when we go to God and admit our sin, as of 1 John 1:9, Psalm 32:4-5, when you do that, you are filled with the Spirit. You can't pray effectively unless you are filled with the Spirit. Listen to Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we don't know what to pray as we should. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, no Old Testament believer was ever said to be in union with Christ, not like you. And they were not indwelt or filled by the Holy Spirit like you. I mean, certain believers were endued by the ministry of the Holy Spirit or empowered to do special works like in Exodus 31:1-5, but not filled with the Spirit like you. You are unique. When the Holy Spirit controls your life, He can use you. He can use you in spite of your ability or inability. But if He does not use you, then the greatest talent and ability and personality and eloquence in the world is absolutely useless. You will never convince anyone to believe in Christ. You will never effectively represent God unless the Holy Spirit controls your life. And then if He's in control of your life, you can say 5 words and bring the world to their knees. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the unlimited power of God's Word and the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit at your availability, but not with sin in your life. You must not allow sin to control your life. You must not ignore sin when you do it. When you are aware that you've sinned with a mental attitude sin, or a sin of the tongue, or an overt sin, when you know you've sinned, you break fellowship with God, you quench the Holy Spirit, you grieve the Holy Spirit, and you must stop then, right then, not tonight, not tomorrow, then, and tell God, I just sinned. Tell Him what you did. Because the Bible says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The neat thing is that word confess. It's a compound verb. Homologeo, H-O-M-O-L-O-G-E-O, homologeo. It means to cite, to name, to agree with, to tell God what you did. I lied. I lusted. I stole. I hated. I gossiped. I complained. I maligned. I was fearful. That's naming your sin. And unless you do that, you will not be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will try to live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh, and you will bomb out. You won't make it. Oh, you'll be in heaven. You'll have eternal life. You will never glorify God to the maximum in your life, and you will never effectively represent Christ to your generation because you will try to do it under the power of your own ability, your own talent, your own personality. Just think about some singer who's a great singer. and they're in your church, and they're singing away to the glory of God, and they got their hands raised up, and they're leading you in a worship service, and 5 minutes earlier, they were out back mad and swearing and cussing and up and mad at somebody in the congregation, or mad at some other person in the choir, or mad at their wife or their husband, and then they get out there and they act like everything's pumped. Listen, that doesn't glorify God. That's a waste of God's time. Human energy, human flesh. Now, when you use the scriptures, I don't care who uses the scripture, if you're in fellowship or if you're out of fellowship, if you have unconfessed sin in your life or you are not, you don't have any unconfessed sin in your life, if you use the scripture, it's alive and powerful. It doesn't need you. But God left you here as a voice, and when you quote the scripture, even though you may be personally out of fellowship, it's still effective. It is the Word of God. And if you want some rewards for doing that, if you want to hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," then you do it under the filling of the Holy Spirit. You represent God as you should. Church age believers, you and me, we have a wonderful law that we operate under. Not the old law of Moses, no. We have a new law. Christ is the end of the law for believers. Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Galatians 5:18, but if you are led by the Spirit, there it is, you're not under the law. So we're not living under the Mosaic law. Sure, we can go to the Old Testament. Sure, we can see personally what these things were written about and even make application to our life because they are effective for application. But we're not under the law of Moses. We're under a higher law. We're not lawless. The Bible says that. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you are under grace, the Bible says in Romans 6:14. In Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, Romans 8:3, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in likeness of sinful man, that's like you and me, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. See, the Mosaic law was weak because of the old sin nature of the flesh. No one could live up to the law. The law could do nothing for us, so God sent his Son, and he fulfilled the law and completely obeyed it. He became a sin offering, and he was set to death on the cross for you and me. He's the only one that could have done it, because he's the only one that was perfectly righteous. Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, the ones that don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We cannot keep the law in the power of the old sin nature. It can only be fulfilled by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit. So, when the Bible says do this, or the Bible says do that, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do it. That's where the energy comes from. That's where the power comes from. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 3:16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be made strong by his Spirit in the inner man. That's your soul strength. Soul strength to do battle in the soul. The negative mandates found in the Bible, don't you quench the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Don't you grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. And if you sin, that's what you do. You can recover from your sin by using problem-solving device number one and rebound, and then you will be spiritual. Spiritual, in fellowship. Carnal, out of fellowship. Spiritual, no unconfessed sin in your life. Carnal, lots of unconfessed sin in your life. And I hear you. How could I keep up with all my sins? I can't count them all. What did the verse say? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. All, even the ones you don't remember. But you cannot operate in the Christian life in the energy of the flesh The secret is tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit control your life. And this is why you're having trouble. This is why you're up and down every day. This is why you're not the same person 2 days in a row. This is why you don't get answers to your prayers. This is why you don't understand the Bible when you read it. You're doing it in the energy of the flesh. It won't work. You must allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. He indwells you. He lives in you. And you are told in the Bible to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. And what does that mean? It means you can either be, see, there's no middle ground here. You're either black or white. There's no gray. You're either in fellowship or you're out of fellowship. You're either filled with the Spirit in fellowship or you're controlled by your old sin nature out of fellowship. It's no in between. So stop just a minute. Look at your own life. Is there sin that you haven't dealt with right now? Is there sin you committed this Sunday morning and you haven't named it to God? And here you are on your way to church. You're about to go down to church and worship God at church or whatever you want to do today. But you have unconfessed sin in your life. Don't you do that. You walk in that church with unconfessed sin in your life. You're in the right place, yes, but you're in the wrong way, and you have quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get anything out of the message. You're going to be convicted and convinced, hopefully, that there's sin there. But as far as getting some divine perspective that you could apply into your life and use in your life, you can't do it. As far as renovating your thinking, according to Romans 12:1-3, you can't do it. All that comes under the filling of the Holy Spirit. Effectively representing Christ, it comes under the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you don't follow the protocol plan of God, you will wind up at the judgment seat of Christ with a bundle of wood, hay, and stubble. Yes, you went to church. Yes, you tithed. Yes, you went on mission trips. Yes, you sang in the choir. Yes, you taught Sunday school class. But it was all human effort and human energy, human dynamics, and it was worthless. It did not glorify God. It did not represent Jesus Christ. You represented your own self. You must be filled with the Spirit. So as I close out this show today, you look at yourself. You look at yourself closely. Am I spiritual? Am I in fellowship? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to control my life? Because without it, you cannot learn the flight line. You can't use the flight line. It's totally ineffective until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why problem-solving device number one is rebound, and problem-solving device number two is the filling of the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it solves the problem of your genetically formed old sin nature running and ruining your life. Think about it. Consider it. Pray over it. Come back next week. I hope you will. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hey, this is Carl Baugh from Free Fire Radio. Tune in from 7 to 9, Monday through Friday, for Free Fire Radio and hear what's going on in this town. Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call. KCNR 1460.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'd like to ask you to stay with me. As always, it'll be a few minutes of motivation, inspiration, education. And we do this without any type of manipulation. That's because we're not trying to con anybody. We're not trying to sell you something. We're not trying to hustle you. We're just trying to give you some accurate information. Information that is my prayer will help you verify as well as identify the plan of God for your life. And if you're able to do that, then my prayer is you will orient and adjust to that plan. So this show is about giving you accurate information, not human speculation. Accurate information from the canon of Scripture called the Bible. It is a show about the Bible. No ranting, no raving, no hollering, no screaming, no begging for money. Just giving you some information. And this show is predicated on building a main line of resistance in your soul. A flot line, F-L-O-T. That stands for forward line of troops. That basically is made up of 10 unique problem-solving devices that we teach on this show. And this is not something that we discovered. This is age-old biblical truth taught by my pastor many years ago. But when we learn what's on our flot line, when we understand the problem-solving devices given to us in the Word of God, then it is possible, if we will use them, that we can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside sources of stress. Because adversity is always inevitable, but stress is always optional. We never have to be stressed out. In fact, we live a supernatural life. The Christian life is a supernatural life. It's an unusual life. We have the filling of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the power to overcome the flesh that tempts us. We have the Word of God, which gives us insight into the strategy of the devil and what he does. Ephesians 6 talks about this, put on the armor of God so that we can stand against the strategy of the devil. And that's a military metaphor, just like the one we're using. The flot line is a military metaphor. So we have these invisible assets, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. You may have, I pray you have, I hope you have a well-qualified pastor that teaches you the Bible more than 30 minutes a week. I mean, someone who's teaching you God's Word. So that you can grow rapidly, not slowly. I mean, people can grow at different rates. I understand that. Just like cars go at different speeds. But I'm looking for those people who want to grow quickly. People who want to get to the high ground of spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum. And the only way you can do that is effectively represent Jesus Christ to your generation. Along the way, there are going to be difficulties and adversities and setbacks. And so I want you to learn how to deal with those things. There's a great passage of Scripture that does this, and it encourages us in our daily life. And it supports us personally as well as spiritually, and it gives us our options in life. And so what we're looking for, what I'm looking for, is I'm looking for one of you out there. I don't know, you may be in California, you may be in Redding, you may be in Grass Valley. You may be in Wyoming, you may be in Cheyenne, you may be in Mississippi, you may be in Maryland, you may be in a lot of different places where we broadcast this radio show. San Antonio, maybe you're in Houston, maybe you're in New York, but you are the person I'm looking for. You're the one that's going to be the leader. You're going to lead the way. When the going gets tough, you're the one that's going to get going, the tough get going. And by that, I mean you're going to stick with God's problem-solving devices. You're going to learn God's Word. You're going to set the example for your family and for your friends of what it means to be a mature believer. But don't worry. You're going to be tested, and you may get weary. I mean, this happens a lot. We get tested, and we get weary. One of the key passages to understand is Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31. If you're a parent, if you're a principal, if you're a politician, these are things you need to know. In this passage, I'll read it to you, then I'll explain it to you, and I'll show you how you can get abnormal strength you did not know you had. Isaiah 40:28 says, "Do you not know, or have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power." Listen to verse 30 of Isaiah 40. "Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly." And here it comes now. Listen. "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will fly, and they will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not be weary." That's you. You can do that. The background to this passage is a phenomenal background. And it's a background I want you to understand and see and hear. These Jews that we're talking about here had been taken captive. Taken captive by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, who invaded Jerusalem and took away so many Jews into captivity. And then Persia came along and defeated the Babylonians and freed these Jews. And Isaiah writes to encourage those Jews who leave Babylon to go back to Judea, return to their homeland. And you can read about that in the book of Ezra. And they went back and rebuilt the temple, rebuilt the temple wall. Nehemiah talked about them rebuilding the military. So this is a timeless truth for people that struggle with adversity in their daily life and in their walk, because these folks were coming out of slavery and going back to reestablish their land, and they were struggling. And so Isaiah said, "Don't you know? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable." Obviously, these folks are going to be tired. They were going to be weary. They're going to have a tremendous task in front of them in rebuilding their nation. So this verb, "do you not know," the Hebrew word yada means knowledge, something that you've learned, information that you perceived, a principle that you've recognized. And this is critical. In order for you to live an effective Christian life, in order for you to be able to endure the adversity that you will face, you must learn something. You must perceive some information. You must recognize principles found in the Word of God. You cannot be a mature believer without learning something. One of the most discouraging things that I can think of are believers who've been saved for many years, 10, 20, 30 years they've been Christians, and they don't know much of anything. They haven't learned much. You know, the disciples were on a crash course with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had to learn a lot in 3 years. I mean, he fed them, he taught them, he crammed it down their throat so they would understand, "I'm leaving and you must carry on, and you're going to have a cross to carry like I did. You better learn what you're going to have to do." And so the Lord Jesus Christ was constantly teaching these disciples. And I want to tell you, they were slow to learn, just like me, slow to learn. And so you must learn. The Bible clearly says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And most people, when they hear that "study," they assume that, well, if I do like a 10-minute devotion every morning when I get up and I have my prayer time, that I'm fulfilling my duty to study. And I disagree. I think when the Bible says, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," when the Lord said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," I think it takes more than 10 minutes a day. That's why I encourage you to get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor. And if you don't have one, I can surely recommend one that can give you tapes, DVDs, so that you can grow spiritually and study in the privacy of your own home. My own pastor, that where I go to church, teaches the Bible 4 hours every week. 4 hours of Bible study. We're doing a study in the life of Christ at my church, And we're now over 900 hours into the life of Christ. There's a lot to learn. Our Christian life that we spend here on this earth is spent learning. Learning how to execute God's plan. Learning what's in the future. Figuring out our personal sense of destiny. What is the perfect will of God? Learning how to replicate the life of Christ. And you don't do that overnight. You must learn. You must have knowledge. If you want to avoid being discouraged, if you want to avoid becoming weary, there's something you must learn. Proverbs 1:22 says this as sort of a warning. It says, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Because scorners," that's those who have contempt or mock God, "they delight in their scorning, and a fool hates knowledge." How long will you simple ones love simplicity? I hate to be the one to break it to you, but learning God's word is not a simple thing. It's not 10 minutes a day. If you're looking for some pastor to be simple, 2 points and a poem, and send you to the golf course or send you to the restaurant for lunch, you're never going to grow up. You're just going to be a Christian caricature. You're not going to replicate the life of Christ. You're not even willing to grow. You just want what I call a casual Christian, somebody to nod to God on Sunday and go your way the rest of the week. Yeah, you'll be in heaven. Yes, you'll have eternal life. Yes, you did believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you had priority number one, self. You were not interested in reproducing Christ to your generation because you wouldn't take the time to learn God's word. Isaiah 40:28 tells us that God's understanding is inscrutable. That means it's impossible to comprehend. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. Omniscient means he knows everything. Omnipotent means he's all-powerful. Omnipresent means he's always with us, regardless. So here's some principles we learn from Isaiah 40:28. God does not ever become weary. He always meets the needs of his people. Listen to Psalm 21:3. "He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." I don't know what you're going through in your life or what adversity you may be facing, but let me say this. God is aware. He knows. You're not going through anything that no one else has gone through, in according to 1 Corinthians 10:13. He can secure you and keep you, and he is not asleep on the job. When our Lord Jesus Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was arrested, the disciples slept on the job while he prayed, and he came and said, "Can you not stay awake an hour or two?" They slept on the job. One of the most disgusting things in the world is for you to go to church and nod off and fall asleep while the Word of God is being taught. That is the ultimate in disrespect. I can't believe you would even consider taking a nap while the Word of God is taught. Oftentimes, if you look around in church, you'll see people like this, nodding off, can't pay attention. And then, when the bottom falls out of their life, they want God to swoop in and make it all right. They're not willing to spend the time learning God's problem-solving devices. He does not become weary. 2, he gives strength to the ones who are exhausted. That strength comes in the form of 2 power options. Number 1, the filling of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. And number 2, the Word of God in your soul, Hebrews 4:12. Number 3, to those who have no power, he increases their strength. Listen to Isaiah 40:29. He gives strength to the weary. Well, that's me. I've been traveling a lot and I'm weary. It's a noun. That word strength is a noun from the Hebrew word koach. And it means he gives might, or he gives ability, or he gives power. Listen as I read to you Jeremiah 9:23-24. "Thus saith the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, And let not the rich man boast of his riches, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. If you want to boast in something, verse 24 says, boast in this, that you understand me and you know me. There's a big difference between knowing God and understanding God. I have no doubt you know God this morning. You have accepted Christ as your Savior, but I'm not sure you understand the God you know. Do you understand his perfect righteousness and his perfect justice? Do you understand the essence of God, his sovereignty and his righteousness and his justice and his love, his eternal life, his immutability, his veracity, his omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence? There's a lot to understand. If you don't understand these things about the God you love, how can you serve him? How can you use the assets he gave you? The Bible says in 1 John 5:1, if we love him, we will obey him. Do you even know what you're supposed to do or not do? Not what people tell you, some of the goofy stuff they come up with. Don't drink soda pops. Don't eat popcorn. Stay away from candy. As if those are sins. You know, I'm being a little ridiculous and facetious, but and you understand the point. Many, many, many churches will put you in chains and tell you you can't do this and you can't do that and be a good Christian when it's not even in the Bible. And yet people love to run your life. People love to calf rope you and make you do things that are not even in the Bible. If you're interested in learning what's in the Bible, then you better get you a well-qualified pastor that won't teach you legalism, that will give you the grace assets of the Christian life. Stick around here. You'll hear it all the time. Contact me. I'll tell you how to find some of these pastors that are squared away guys that'll give you the information and not charge you one dime. They'll send you anything they've got free of charge. So the Bible clearly says he gives strength to the weary. And then it says to those who have no might, verse 29, Isaiah 40, he increases their strength. This means the one who lacks ability, the one who lacks the strength to carry out, the one who doesn't have the substance to sustain himself, he will actually give you the power. He will make you do what you didn't think you could do. I remember playing football in college, and my college football coach was Paul Bear Bryant, the famous Bear Bryant at Alabama. He got men to do what they didn't think they could do. He would take you to the point of exhaustion and then challenge you to keep going. Those of you that have served in the military, you understand what the drill instructor did. He got you to do things you didn't think you could do. And this is what God does. He gives you the strength to carry out, even when you don't have the substance to sustain yourself. This is the supernatural ability of the Christian life. This is the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is the dynamics of the Word of God in your soul. This noun, he increases your strength, means he gives you an abundance. And it all comes by means of the faith rest drill. Problem-solving device number 3, the faith rest drill. Standing on the promises of God. So the young men that fled Babylon in verse 30 of that passage were going to grow weary. They were going to stumble badly when they went back to their land. But the Bible says those who wait on the Lord, and here's the key, which means to look to the Lord, or hope for the Lord, or expect the Lord, this requires patience. If you want God to come beside you and help you, you're going to have some patience. Because it's all about God's timing, not your timing. If there's anything that'll get you in trouble, it's lack of patience. It is you jumping the gun. It is you being, shall we say, first out the gate. You must wait on the Lord. And this requires faith. Remember when the Jews had come out of Egypt and they were running from the Pharaoh for their life, and They came up to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea was there, and the Pharaoh was behind them with his armies, and it looked like they were going to die. It looked like they were trapped. And Moses said, stand still and watch what God is about to do. In order for you to see the power of God, you must stand still sometime. Stand still on his promises. No weapon that is formed against you shall ever hurt you, Isaiah 54:17 says. This requires faith, and that's the faith rest drill. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible, all for you. They're yours if you'll use them, if you'll trust them. This is the power that God's Word gives you, the sustainability that God's Word gives you. If you will be patient, if you will learn God's Word, listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot have faith if you don't learn God's Word. It's not like a train trying to go over a mountain saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. That's not faith. Faith is the actuality of what you believe. It's not you assuming unassigned responsibilities. It's you being patient, waiting on the Lord, staying filled with the Holy Spirit, growing in grace, and let God do the work. If you will wait on the Lord, verse 31 says, you will gain new strength. You will be refreshed, or you will be energized. I like to call it spiritual Red Bull. I don't know if you know what that is or not, but that's one of those energy drinks on the market today that a lot of people drink to get a burst of energy. Well, God can give you the spiritual Red Bull, but it's not just a little burst of energy. It's a life of energy, a new strength. I can assure you, in my life, in the many years that I've traveled back and forth across the southeastern part of the United States and out into the western part of this great country, there have been many, 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 many times I've grown weary and tired. Back and forth, driving, traveling, speaking for many years. And yet God has always energized me, always refreshed me when I stand to teach His Word. Isaiah 40:31 says, first, you will mount up with wings like eagles. That's wonderful. I see some eagles when I'm out fishing, and they are beautiful creatures. I love to watch them. They soar high above me. They can see much more than I can see. Their eyes are very, very sharp. And they soar on the currents of air that keep them aloft. Think about this for your life. How would you like to be able to soar above all the problems that you face and to survey the situation with divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint, looking at it from high above and seeing God's complete and total plan? See, this is something that's incredible. Once you get up above and you see the whole plan laid out, you see where you're going, not where you are. You see where you're going. And if you have the faith to trust God, you'll get there. So mounting up with wings like eagles, what a great promise that you can soar above your problems and look at the big picture, not just what's happening now. Because divine solutions are the only solutions. And human solutions, well, that's no solution. So you will run and not get tired, which means you're running in a race. Hebrews 12:1-2 tells us, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Yes. He ran a race, and he did not get weary. And you can do the same thing. There is a great cloud of witnesses watching you, and they're called angels. The angelic beings observe you. And God is asking you to lay aside every distraction, every encumbrance, every distraction, and any sin which entangles you, and run the race with endurance. What is the race? What is that about? It's the race to get to spiritual maturity, the race to be able to completely replicate the life of Christ. That's the race. It's the race for you to become a mature believer, because that is the one thing Satan opposes. He opposes that completely. Isaiah 40:31, they will run and they won't get tired. That means God will give you extended endurance. They will walk and not get weary. That means you won't get fatigue and you won't faint. Much like a 25-mile force march in the military. I mean, some people faint. Some people can't do it. Have to be picked up by the trucks and taken back to the base. But then there's always those few that have that supernatural ability to drive on and drive on and drive on. Those sort of people become special forces, Rangers, Airborne, Marine Recon. They become Navy SEALs. They have that endurance. And that's what God's looking for in you, special endurance. And he will give it to you. He will sustain you. You will be able to live your life with endurance and not get discouraged, not get weary, never get tired, never give up, never say, oh, Lord, I can't take it anymore. You know, that's self-pity. The ultimate arrogance in your life is self-pity. If you get full of self-pity, you're going to start looking at the problems instead of the solutions. And you're going to look around.